For our scripture reading, we turn to the book of James. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Begin at verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice that he's exalted, but the rich in that he is made low. Because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with either evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And if any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure and undefiled before God pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. So far we read from the Holy Scriptures, and the passage that we consider are verses 5 and 6. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Dearly beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we read these verses, we think of our own lack of wisdom, and we think of our constant need to look to God for wisdom. And we take note here that there's a promise. It shall be given him. And we think of the circumstances that we face. We may have circumstances in our own life. We may have circumstances in our own family. Sometimes where we wonder what to do. Where we see the need to go to God for wisdom. Work in the church, difficulties in the church, in the churches, difficulties at school, difficulties in the workplace, difficulties in our home, rearing children, difficulties in marriage. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. The wording there is such that it indicates that, in the original, it indicates that the statement, if ye lack wisdom, means, and you do. You do have a need for wisdom. Now we have wisdom. We who are in Christ, God grants us wisdom. But we also see our need of an increase. We see a constant need to grow in wisdom. In our life, we recognize that God governs and directs all things. And in our life, circumstances can arise, perhaps a circumstance we have not faced before. Could be that we've had a number of years of experience dealing with a number of difficulties. And yet something comes to pass and think, at best, I've not really seen this before. What's the right way to deal with this? How to apply the principles of Scripture to this situation? And we think of this verse. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. And then it brings out the need to ask in faith. And it goes on a little bit about that. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in his ways. So it brings out the importance of us praying in faith, nothing wavering. Then we think of that with regard to our request, that we are to keep coming to God and we are to ask in faith. And we'll take a look at that idea too of wavering. We are warned against wavering. This passage also follows a passage that speaks about trials that we face. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. We think of the trials, we think of the difficulties that we face, and we think of how God tells us the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. Right after that is where this text is found. We desire wisdom. We look to God to wisdom in the circumstances and the trials that we go through, that we may count it all joy, as it says in verse 2, that we may give thanks to our God, that we may be patient, waiting on the Lord our God, trusting in Him, confident that He will guide us, and that He will give us the wisdom, the strength we need. We consider this passage under the theme, if any of you lack wisdom. We consider first of all the need, secondly, the request, and thirdly, the promise. Wisdom. Who has wisdom? Who has the wisdom that's referred to here? We understand references to the wisdom of this world. But this wisdom is a spiritual gift. Christ, we know, Christ is the Word, wisdom, and image of God. The Word of God, the wisdom of God. And He's the one that reveals to us the wisdom of God. Wisdom's a spiritual gift. It's a gift purchased by our Lord. When we think of Christ's suffering and death, the agonies of hell into which He was plunged, paying for our sins, purchasing for us the blessings that we receive. Wisdom purchased by our Lord, given by the Spirit. As 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8 says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, and so on. To one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. We're talking here about the wisdom of God. Now, what is the wisdom of God? What does it mean to have wisdom? Kind of out of an understanding of wisdom. If somebody has a problem, then when they think of going to someone that has wisdom, then they think of going to someone that's going to be able to apply the principles of Scripture to the situation at hand. What do we do? And one who has the ability to apply the principles that are taught us in the Scriptures, who has an understanding of those principles and sees how to apply them to the situation that we're in today. That's one who has wisdom. And we want to go to somebody that has wisdom, that could answer the questions, that could give us wise counsel, that could apply the principles of Scripture to everyday life, difficulties that we deal with in everyday affairs. Wisdom has been defined as the right use and exercise of knowledge, or the use of the best means to accomplish the proper goal. Brings out the idea that wisdom is practical. And one who has wisdom shows how to make a proper use of what one knows. We understand the difference. One can know many things about something, but how are you going to apply what you know to different circumstances that you are in? We may think we have a certain amount of knowledge about certain things, and then we have a difficulty, and we think, well, now, how do we deal with this? We may think we know how we are to rear our children, and we may be guiding them and instructing them in the principles of the Word of God. We think of what God tells us to do in our parenting, and we're striving to do that in our homes. And then a situation arises, and we wonder, now, what do we do in this situation with this child and what this child is going through? How should we deal with this? Wisdom, one with wisdom then, has their eye on the right goal. When one speaks of wisdom and the right use of the best means to accomplish the proper goal, we understand those of the world, they had, you know, their motivations are always evil. But those who are children of God, we, by the work of the Spirit within us, we have as our goal that God's name may be glorified. And we seek that. What is to the glory of God? What is for the edification of the people of God? And then the question is, in the situation that we face, what should we do? With regard to wisdom and the Scriptures, well, we recognize that the wisdom of God is set forth in Holy Scripture. You know, an example of that, we understand there's a lot of biblical principles taught, just for example, in the book of Proverbs. And we think of how in the book of Proverbs, just to take that book that speaks to us about the wisdom of God, that we look at that book and we see there are principles taught there concerning what we should do in different situations. But of course, these principles are taught throughout the Scriptures. And so one who is desiring to grow in wisdom sees also the importance of doctrinal instruction. And that is good to bring out here. When we think of our need for wisdom, that does bring out our need for, and we put a stress upon, doctrinal instruction. Instruction that goes through the various doctrines that we have, for example, in our confessions. Not only stating what is taught in the Word of God, but we think of places, for example, in our confessions where we have taught what is not, well, we have explained what is not taught in Scripture. That we have rejection of errors, not only in the canons, but other places as well. You see the great importance of that doctrinal instruction. We recognize we need wisdom to interpret the Scriptures. Now, your children recognize that, you know, even at a young age in catechism, as you're instructed in the Scriptures and as you're taught and you memorize various verses, There may be a time where you're in, say, catechism class, or it could be a class at school, where somebody asks you to read a verse. And then the question may be asked, now how does that verse teach what we're talking about here? And now all of a sudden you're looking at that from the viewpoint of being able to explain it. First, the child was looking at it, okay, I have to read it. And they read it. But now they're being asked a question to look at that verse again from the viewpoint of being able to explain it and explain how it teaches a certain doctrine or how it refutes a certain error. You recognize you need God to guide us by the Spirit to learn to do that. And we constantly see our need and growth in that. As we search the Scriptures, we see how much we need. There's so many passages where you read, and if somebody asks you, now, what is that? What's that talking about? What do those verses mean? And it may be quite difficult to know for sure what a certain passage means. Some passages, we hear frequently explained. Other passages, it may be that we look at them and we think, I don't know what that means. There are some passages that even after you read some commentaries on it, that you still may have doubts as to whether you really understand what that verse is saying. We recognize our constant need for God to teach us and for us to grow. And we do grow as we keep looking to God, confessing to Him our need. We need to be able to God to guide us to interpret the Scriptures and to see how they apply the principles that we face from day to day. With regard to sufferings and afflictions, as are mentioned in the beginning of this chapter, one with heavenly wisdom knows what Scripture says about our suffering. Sees how affliction and difficult situated circumstances are for our profit. You think if you were standing next to somebody who was going through a certain situation and you hear them complaining about it, and perhaps they've never been taught the truth concerning afflictions being for the profit of the people of God. Perhaps it's a person that would say they're a Christian. They say they hold to the Scriptures. And then you have an opportunity to express to them, well, what does Scripture say to us about the afflictions that we go through? The Scriptures do teach that God upholds and governs all things, that nothing happens by chance. Many people don't confess that. That really, everything? He governs and directs all things? The Scriptures teach that. That He has determined everything that's going to take place. And that when something happens to us that we would not have wanted to happen, we say, well, that was the will of God. And sometimes people say, oh, you shouldn't say that. We say, well, we know that that's the case. The fact that this happened, it was the will of God. And I know the Scriptures say that He will avert all evil or turn it to our profit. And we confess that in our sorrows and in our afflictions. We confess that. Well, one with wisdom sees how affliction is used for our profit. Wisdom is then manifested in yielding to God in difficult situations, being patient in tribulation, patient in adversity, considering the goal. Again, that idea of considering the goal. What is the goal? The goal is that God's name might be praised, that His name might be magnified. We need wisdom. When we think of the manifestation of wisdom, one with wisdom, we think of our great need of it. We need wisdom as we go through each day, in our work among the saints in the church, to give wise counsel, to give words of encouragement to other people, to be able to help and encourage them in time of need. We talk to one another about the difficulties that we go through, and to be able to give encouragement to one another. And sometimes people may come to us seeking counsel, seeking advice. In the workplace, in the school, we may have difficult situations in the school. Sometimes our children have difficult situations at school. And now we're applying the principles to our children dealing with a circumstance that they have to deal with at school, perhaps daily when they go to school. We recognize something's bothering our child. Some children may be pretty open with what bothers them. And there may be others that don't really want to talk about what bothers them. And as we work with them and try to understand what is the difficulty that they may be facing, and then once we understand it, then the next question is, what advice do we give? What advice do we give as grandparents? Then we get past the parenting stage, and we get to the grandparents or the great-grandparents and become aware of what a grandchild is going through. And we think of how a child can look at their grandma and grandpa, and even though they may not express it, be thinking about the words that they say. Well, you think about the grandparent wanting to give good counsel in the situation that they may see a grandchild going through. See the need for wisdom. Could be a difficulty in the workplace. You know, it could be that the man has got some difficulties in the workplace and it's really bothering him, and his wife recognizes things are bothering him and talks to him and comes to understand what her husband is facing at work every day. And that they talk together. They talk together about the situation, and what a blessing it is when one is married, to be married in the Lord, a man who receives wise counsel from his wife and encouragement from his wife, and thinks about the things she says as she looks at the situation and gives counsel. We need wisdom. We need the wisdom that comes from God to answer questions, to give advice. We constantly need God's grace that we may show our own, that we may be content in our own trials. You know, when you think of patience that's referred to here, well, then you think of times when we're going through a difficult situation and we're not dealing with it the way we ought. We want to be an example. We want not only to give advice to our children about how to deal with whatever problem they may deal with, problem with this person, problem with that person, struggles they have in their own work, that we not only want to teach them, but we also want to give them a good example of how we deal with difficulties that we face when things don't go the way that we would like them to go. You think of a child that's saying, well, you know, Dad's losing it again, or Mom's freaking out. And you think of children saying that. That it may be a relatively small matter, and Mom's freaking out, or Dad's losing it again over this. And it could be that we think, you know, I'm not dealing with this the way I ought. That in my frustration, and it could be that I'm dealing with something frustrating at work, and then I come home, and then this situation is presented to me, and I don't deal with it the way that I should. We need wisdom. We need God's grace. We want to give a good example. And when we're suffering, when people speak evil against us falsely, we want to give a good example of how one is to deal with that. We're thinking of our calling. We think of our calling joyfully to bear our cross, thankful for the sacrifice of our Lord. We constantly are to look to God for the wisdom that we need. Christ says, ask, and ye shall receive. Ask, seek, knock. Think of Jesus saying, ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. John 16, verse 24. There are a number of passages that speak this way. Ask, and ye shall receive. We need to ask. We need to be constantly asking God for that which we need. Brings up the importance of prayer. You know, when we think about praying to God, and we think of how often do I pray to God? We not only think about our studying of the scriptures, I should search the scriptures more, but we also think of our praying. How we should pray more. And how it's easy to become kind of mechanical in our prayers. Kind of external and not going to God, you know, pouring out our heart to Him. We think of how short our prayers can be. Not that there's any problem with at times praying a very short prayer. But we recognize the importance of us constantly going to God and looking to Him for what we need and praying for one another. We think of the prayers of our Lord that are referred to in Scripture, our Lord's praying. And it says when we pray, we're not to doubt. We must pray in faith, not doubting. Now that brings out the contrast. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. We're not to be wavering, we're not to be doubting. Some may pray, and perhaps a person prays and doubts whether they'll really receive what they request. Now, with regard to that, we do recognize a distinction about what we're requesting. If we're requesting something God has promised us, we recognize that we're to request that believing we're going to receive that. Somebody may be requesting something that God has not promised in Scripture that He will give to His children. We recognize we may have a difficult situation that we would like to change, and it may be that it's going to continue. But as we ask God for wisdom, God tells us He will grant that. So that we, knowing that, we are to pray. We're to pray not doubting. Not doubting. We're not to doubt that He'll grant it. We're also not to be praying as someone that isn't really sure that they want what they're requesting. We're also not to pray like that, where we're asking for something, but we're really not so sure that we really want what we're asking. You know, you think of in the Lord's Prayer that we say that we want to order all of our life to the glory of God. First petition, know God rightly, order our life to His glory. We want Him to rule us by His word and spirit that we might submit more to Him. We ask God for the grace to renounce our own will and without murmuring to submit to His. One may not be sure that that's really what they want to do. And one may say something in their prayer, but really, though they're saying it outwardly, really not sure that's what they want. Later on in the book of James, in James 4, there's a reference to those that would be friends with the world. In James 4, verse 4, it says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." And notice that right before that, He says, "Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye might consume it upon your lusts." There's an explanation of one that asks and receives not. What's going on? "Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask and amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts." It's very important that when we ask in sincerity when we ask for wisdom. That we really mean that. We really desire to glorify God. We're sorry for our sin. We're confessing our sin. We're asking God, deliver us from evil sincerely. We're asking God for wisdom and strength to fight in the battle. Well, some might ask and they're not sure that they really want to do that. They really see the things of this world as they're tempted. And the thought that they're really asking God for this, where they really intend, they really desire to continue on doing that which they know they should not do. We're not to be wavering. It says a wavering person is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. A double-minded man, double-minded. That word there is literally like two-souled man. Translated here, a double-minded man. And such a one is said to be wavering. And you think of the illustrations of a wave that's tossed, driven by the wind. Driven this way, then driven that way, driven by the wind and tossed. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let not that man think that he will receive anything of the Lord. This is an example of how there's a benefit in considering the opposite of what we're to do. We talked earlier about the benefit of not only hearing the correct explanation of a doctrine, but also having some detailed explanation of the error, like we have in the Canons of Dort, with some detail. The true doctrine being explained, now we explain we reject the errors of those who teach, and then it lists a number of them. And as was mentioned, it's not just the canons that do that. Well, it's also beneficial for us to hear not only what we are to do, but what we are not to do. In fact, we recognize in the scriptures we're often told what not to do. And then as we go through the commandments in the Heidelberg Catechism, it brings out that when we're told not to do that, to do whatever, that means also that we are to do, and then it talks about the opposite that we are supposed to do. Here we have an example of what we're told to do, and then right after that, don't pray as one who is wavering. We are to ask in sincerity. And the sincerity of it is shown in the fact that we keep on asking. That's one way that the sincerity will manifest itself, is that ongoing request for what we need. That's in the passage too, because it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And the word there brings out the idea, the word in the original brings out the idea that this is an ongoing. Let him keep on asking of God. So as was brought out, God has given us wisdom. And yet, we keep asking for it. I am thine, O give me wisdom, make me know thy truth, I pray. Sinners have despised thy statutes. Now, O Lord, thy power display. Lord, I love thy good commandments and esteem them more than gold. All thy precepts are most righteous, hating sin, to these I hold. I am thine, give me wisdom. Make me know thy truth. We think, well, we know the truth. What do you mean? Why do we say, make me know thy truth? Well, we understand if someone was to ask us that we have so much to learn. So much to learn. And that we're constantly to come to God in humility, in faith, in humility, asking God for the wisdom that we need. You know, wisdom is, faith is confidence, is mentioned in Lord's Day 5 when it talks about prayer. You remember when it asks, what are the requisites of that prayer which is acceptable to God and which he will hear? And then it mentions that we pray to the one true God for all things he's commanded us to ask of him. You know, the one true God who's manifested himself in his word. But then it also says that we rightly know our need. Rightly and thoroughly know our need. So that I am to pray for wisdom as one who rightly and thoroughly knows my need for the wisdom I'm asking for. So I may deeply humble myself in the presence of his divine majesty. Humble myself. Coming to God as one who knows his need. In humility. And then it mentions being fully persuaded that notwithstanding I'm unworthy of it, he will, for the sake of Christ our Lord, certainly hear our prayer as he has promised. As he has promised in his word. As he has promised. And now we look at that promise. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Let him ask of God, and it shall be given him. Let him ask of God. Ask, and ye shall receive. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door shall be open. Liberally. That term, when it says that gives to all men liberally. First of all, that phrase, let him ask of God that giveth. In the original there, the idea is, let him ask the giving God. And then it brings out the idea of liberally, that he gives liberally and abradeth not. But first of all, let him ask the giving God. We think of how God gave his only begotten Son. His only begotten Son. He loved you. He loved us. He gave his only begotten Son. To lay down his life for you and me. Certainly when we pray to the giving God, we're to pray with confidence. Then it mentions liberally. Now the term that's translated liberally here appears only here in the original. It's a term, as we look at that, a term that seems to have the meaning of something like simply, or sincerely, without reservation. It's interesting, then there's a contrast between God's giving and the person asking that's wavering. The person that's asking that's wavering, he's a double-minded man. He's not, you know, he's in contrast to God who gives sincerely. And the term was translated liberally. Well, the fact that he does sincerely continue to give. Unlike somebody that if they didn't really want to give, then they wouldn't, you know, they may give you just a little bit. You think of a child that has something, and if somebody says, would you share with me? Could I have some? And then they think, oh, I don't really know if they want to give, and if, well, maybe I'll just give you this little part. But God gives sincerely. And he does not upbraid. Now that term, the English word upbraid, has a meaning like to charge with something wrong or disgraceful, or to reproach, to charge with fault in severe language. There are places where the term is used where we read of Christ upbraiding. It says then in Matthew 11, verse 20, then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Because they repented not, we read he upbraided them. Woe unto thee, Chorazin, and so on. But here, the term is used with regard to those who, in faith, who they come to God seeking wisdom. And it says that God gives to all, the idea is to all those, all his people who come to him asking in faith. God-given faith. Spirit works in us the faith. The Spirit works in us faith, and we come to God asking in faith. And God gives to us liberally and upbraideth not. You know, you think of how somebody might, if they were asked for something, they might not only be not so sure they really want to give, or they may be quick to scold. To upbraid us when we're coming to them. And God says, he does not upbraid us. He will give to us that which we request. And he'll keep on giving to us that which we request. That's quite something, too. I mean, with earthly things, you imagine, you think of somebody that if you would keep going to him for earthly things, and he'd keep giving it to you. And you say, you know, all you have to do is go and ask this guy. He'll give it to you. And then if you go the next day and you ask him for some more, he will. He'll give it to you again. You can keep on going to him. He'll keep on giving it to you. We're talking about going to God for wisdom and knowing that it really is true with God that when we go to God and ask for wisdom, he'll grant that. We're not to doubt that that's true. In the situations we face, as we go to God for wisdom, God grants us a growth in wisdom. We recognize that doesn't mean that as we go to God in prayer and ask for wisdom, that immediately we know exactly what to do in a situation that we're facing. As to how soon it may or may not be. One thing we know is that God does continue to give us grace that we grow in wisdom and understanding, It could be that we receive counsel from someone. We're praying for wisdom. It could be that then soon after that we're talking to someone that's helping us to understand something. Could be that when we're going to the Scriptures, we not only pray, but we go to the Scriptures and we ask God to guide us. And we see that God is teaching us from His Word. We often, we talk to one another at times. We're going through something. Maybe others don't even know we're going through something. And something is mentioned from the pulpit, say, or somebody comes, is talking to you, and a conversation happens. Maybe a conversation you weren't even planning to talk to the person, and now you're talking to the person, and they bring up something, and something they say that you think of how it applies to what you're going through. Or you're having family devotions, and as you're reading it, you start to think, you could be just reading the next passage in family devotions, and then you start thinking about how that applies. Or it could be that you're specifically going to the Scriptures trying to find an answer to a specific problem, and you see how God is guiding you, me, to learn. He does grant us what we need. God will try us. The trying of our faith worketh patience. As we go through trials, as we have difficulties, and we keep thinking we need to go to God for wisdom, for strength. We often think of going to God for strength. Give me the grace I need. Give me the strength I need in this situation. We go to God for wisdom. Guide me. We go to Him humbling ourselves before God, confessing our need. Guide me. Teach me wisdom. I am thine. Teach me wisdom. And pray that with confidence, thinking of what Christ has done, believing the gospel, praying in faith, and then seeking that wisdom in the Word of God and striving in our life to live to His honor and to express our thankfulness to Him, striving to apply the principles that He teaches us to the honor and to the glory of His name. Amen. Let us pray. Our Lord, our God and our Father, we are thankful, O Lord, for Thy grace. We are thankful for strength, and we are thankful for wisdom. Lord, grant us wisdom. Grant that we may grow in wisdom and understanding. Grant that we may teach our children and that we may also give a good example to them. Father, grant that grace unto us. Grant that we, young and old, may grow and that we may learn and that we may show our thankfulness to Thee. We confess our need, O Lord, and we are so thankful Thou dost teach us. We're thankful Thou dost comfort us. As we keep coming to Thee, Thou dost comfort us. We are so thankful, O Lord, for Thy grace. Forgive our sins, keep us from sin, and may we and all Thy people glorify and praise Thy holy name. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.